This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Being on that field, you lose sleep, you hurt for your brother, a lot of shared grief, but to the question before, getting updates and positive updates eases so much of that pain and that tension that you feel, but Coach handled it as perfect as anybody could. I don't typically like using emotion to answer questions, but yeah, like the scene just replays over and over in your head, and there's, again, it's hard to answer that question and actually describe how, you know, I felt, how my teammates felt in that moment. It's something we'll never forget, but to know that DeMar is doing okay, and I know there's still a lot of things and stuff that he has to process and continue to go through to get back to himself. We're just, again, we heard that news this morning, and there's nothing that could have been told to us to bring our day down. You know, we're extremely happy for him and his family. You know, we just want to love up on him, you know, so the next chance we get, I don't know when it's going to be, if we get to see him anytime soon, man, it's going to be awesome. I do want to say one more thing, I haven't reached out to T. I hope that, you know, he got some relief today, and I don't know, I saw some stuff on Twitter, and people should not be attacking him whatsoever, and I'm glad that DeMar's family came out and said that, and hopefully he found some relief today, because, again, that's a football play, and I hope that he doesn't hold that upon himself, because, again, there's nothing else that he could have done in that situation. So I just wanted to say that too.
DeMar's mom texted me this morning and told me, you know, about everything, and it made me feel even more at home, you know, and I really appreciate them, you know, just hearing from them and them having my back as well. Yeah, it feels good.
I'm not a big social media person, but Josh did share something with me via text that he saw earlier today, and I looked at it, and it was, maybe you've seen it, it's about what maybe DeMar's mom is going to share with him when he when he wakes up, and it's amazing to know the impact that this has had on so many people, and for now DeMar to be awake and his mom to be able to share that with him it's incredible.
Incredible words across the board. Incredible sound right there. What a week. And I'll admit, Michael, I'm still processing it. You guys have done a great job on your show of articulating the emotions around this entire DeMar Hamlin situation. I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you, man. So first of all, DeMar, of course, spoke to the breathing tube is out. Spoke to his team today virtually, and
that's great.
You know, that was just phenomenal. So it's like this such an awful start to this week. The news just keeps getting better and better. You guys discussed, of course, yesterday. His, you know, did we win question when he woke up, and the doctor saying yes, you won the game of life. You know, his recovery, everything's looking promising. Again, still some progress to be made, but it looks very promising from where we started. And so now we're a couple of days from football resuming, from the games going on. Bills Bengals has been canceled. We'll get more into that fallout in a second. But just, I wonder, man, just now that we're here on this Friday with all this good news and we're about to kick off week 18, how do you feel? It feels soon. I don't have a proposed alternative in terms of, you know, hey, we should cancel this week's games because eventually they're going to play football again. Let me just...
Right.
Indulge me for a moment.
Go ahead. Because I want you to, and really, as I indulge you, want you to follow up, elaborate on the statement that you said you're a little nervous. I'm curious about that.
Go ahead and share. I'm sorry, I'll elaborate on that first, and then I'll just kind of share, I guess, what I've been kind of thinking these last few days or trying to process the last few days. Nervous just because it's like, I just don't know how I'm going to feel watching it. The most important thing, let me say this, is DeMar's health. That at this point, it should go without saying, but I think we do need to reinforce that. The most important thing is his health and his full recovery. But as time has gone on these last few days and his health has improved, it feels more okay than initially was to think and talk about football. And so now that we're about to start playing football again, I'm just like, how am I going to feel? How are we going to feel watching these games, let alone how are these players going to feel performing in these games? I mean, look, this is their job. And we know you got to be wired differently to do this to begin with. Okay? They take these risks. They sign up for these risks. They know the inherent risks that they're taking on their physical health, their mental health, short and long term. And they do it anyway. And they love it. And they're compensated for it. They make this choice. So I understand, even though I couldn't do it, I understand how they're going to go out, be able to go out and perform, because they do it all the time. You know, people get carted off or stretched off all the time, and the game keeps going. But this hit differently, no pun intended. This hit differently. So I'm interested and anxious to see how the players perform so soon after this catastrophic incident. I'm also interested in how I'm going to feel just watching football. Like, you and I have watched countless hours of football. I talked about countless hours, thought about football for countless hours over the years. I think it's going to feel different watching these games post DeMar Hamlin. And lastly, at the risk of rambling, I'll stop and say this last thing. It's just fascinating that this cardiac arrest was the thing that shook everybody up. Whereas I was in Cincinnati week 4 when Tua Tagovailoa assumed the fencing position when he suffered what we think was a second concussion, okay? Either his first of the season or second out of 3 this season. And how awful that scene was. That game continued. And the games went on. There have been so many instances of either players suffering brain trauma or developing CTE and later in life tragically taking their own lives, whether it's Junior Seau or Dave Duerson. Or just maybe people not coming close to death on the field, but their lifestyles or their quality of life being destroyed as a result of playing football. This is not some sermon about how bad football is. I love football. I still love football. I will always love football. I'm not anti-football. You know, I'm the parent in the house that at least is entertaining a conversation with my son, or was entertaining the conversation with my son. My wife has always been a hard no about Mason playing football. Like, hell no. Absolutely not.
Right.
She, you know, so I'm not anti-football in any way, and I've not become anti-football. I'm just saying maybe the word is conflict, and it's just interesting that DeMar Hamlin went to a place having to be, having to have CPR administered, went to a place that's not all that far beyond what we've seen other players either suffer in the short or the long term. Like, this game breaks bodies. It destroys minds. This is the price that is paid for football. This is the price that to play football. This is the price that is paid for our collective entertainment, for our national obsession. And so it's just going to feel different watching this weekend. That's a long answer for why I'm nervous or anxious. It's just going to feel different. I haven't quite known how to process it all week. God bless you and many others who've done an exceptional job of putting this into words, but just, I don't know. I don't know that it's ever going to be the same. Hopefully, DeMar Hamlin, most important, is the same eventually. But I don't know that the football experience can really ever be the same after 24 million people and watched in real time on Monday night, and many others have since watched this game from an injury standpoint go where we haven't seen it go maybe ever. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. And you talk about us putting it into words on the show this week. I'm not sure that we have. We tried. And that's the best way to do it, is try to talk it through. That's why I think Robert Saleh did one of the smartest things this week. Head coach of the Jets brings the players in and allows the players to take the floor and take over the room and just kind of express themselves about how they were on the outside looking in like the rest of us. They don't have to play the Buffalo Bills this week. They weren't playing the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. Yeah, this is something, Mike, that affected everybody, whether they're football players, Bengals, Bills, or the 30 other teams, or football fans, millions of football fans across the country and across the world. So Saleh allows his players to come in and just talk and ask questions to the doctors who were in the room. I think that's part of it. You are in this field. Talking about the players here, you're in this field, you've been doing this for a long time, you're the best at what you do, and every now and then you step back and say, what are the risks again? Wait a minute.
Right.
That can happen?
Have you seen
why are we doing this?
Even bring up the idea of not playing, I'm talking about individuals. Like, I don't think anybody's been scared out of football by this.
I haven't heard it. So,
again, it's how you have to be wired to do this.
Yeah, it's hard to really conceptualize. I used to say to myself all the time, like, okay, just like these silly conversations before this happened. I'd have conversations with people. I'd say, what would you rather do? Would you rather, you know, stand in a boxing ring and take a punch from a world champion? Or would you rather, you know, be out there in the slot, catch a ball in the slot, and then there's no sideline for you. You got to run to a sideline. You got to outrun a corner, a safety, a linebacker. You're going to get hit. What would you rather do? And I always say, no thanks on both of them. No thanks. So it's really a sport. They are used to it. This is what they do. And
it's their job.
Unfortunately,
it's a livelihood.
Unfortunately, Mike, there's no wake-up call. There hasn't been a wake-up call. I say between like 1997 and I'm going to tell you about 1997 in a second. Between 1997 and 2022/23, hasn't been that big wake up call until now. And how long does it last? So 97, Reggie Brown playing for the Detroit Lions, Lions versus Jets. Same thing happens to him. The same thing happened to Reggie Brown. Now, we don't talk about it that much. Bill Belichick brought it up. He was an assistant on the Jets. With the Jets in 97, when it happened, last game of the year, Reggie Brown loses consciousness, CPR on the field. He's revived. Thank God he is still with us today, living his normal life. But that was Sunday at 1. It wasn't on Monday Night Football.
It wasn't social media, the internet. It was a different league.
It was a different league. Yeah. It was a different, truly was a different world. So we've had, as you said, we've had concussions. We've had devastating injuries on the field. We've had former players who have told us, hey, my life is not the same. You mentioned Duerson. You mentioned Junior Seau. We just lost. Remember last year, we lost Demaryius Thomas. Some similar issues, football related. Mm-hmm. Here in Boston, BU has done an amazing job of really studying the brains of players to see what the evidence of CTE was. And they've really advanced this research. But still, I think, Mike, the reason a lot of players haven't said, okay, well, I need to slow down, is because they haven't had it in front of them. You can think about a lot of things. People can warn you. If I had Gary's sweet potato pie in front of me, and somebody said, you know, you shouldn't eat that whole pie because it's going to hurt you down the road. Okay, I'm going to eat this pie right now because I'll worry about down the road later. I'll worry about that later.
Nobody's thinking. That thing didn't last.
Yeah, right now.
It didn't last very long in my house.
Right now. Yeah. And I think a lot of players say, you know, 24, 25 years old, even 30. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll worry about it later. But to see that happen in front of you, to see it and to hear it, it does give you pause, but pause. It's a pause.
Briefly.
I think if it's your industry, if it's your industry and it's dangerous, and that's what you know and that's what you love, you keep doing it.
Well, that's exactly right. It's what they know. It's what they've been trained to do. It's a deal that they made with themselves a long time ago. And this is just an extreme example of the danger, but they noticed that this could happen.
But they didn't know that this could happen. That's the twist.
Well,
I think there needs to, I'll bet a lot of players are saying, well, wait a minute. Whoa, what happened?
Well, but okay. What happened? All right. But yes, this could happen. But this is such a rare situation. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't your everyday garden variety injury. We haven't, you know, seen it exactly play out like this, where somebody just collapses from cardiac arrest. I mean, but, you know, again, the fencing position, or somebody being knocked out cold is fine, or somebody going on and struggling with the rest of their lives is fine, because that comes with this particular territory. So, What you about to say something?
Well, no, I was just going to say, though, but you're right. You're right. But there was a point where we weren't fine with that. Like, it's almost...
That was the point where we thought the concussions were going to kill the game. How long have you been predicting the demise of professional football because of head trauma? And that never came to pass.
Mike, I am with you all the way that, you know, I'm not anti-football, love the game. It's almost like, where will my love pause? Because it has it.
Because
there was a time, whether it was, okay, concussions, there's a really, really high chance that if you practice X amount of time, if you take hits to the head like this, there will be concussions. Okay. Concussions, and then we see it on the field. We see fencing. Now, we didn't know that term. Hey, what's that? What's going on? That's scary.
Right.
The player is just putting his hands up. But then now we get used to that. Now we see this on the field. That can happen in football. But I'm still looking forward to all the games on Saturday and on Sunday. So is there anything that will make me pause my love for football? And it's not injury related, but I just want to point out there have been some moments, there have been times where I've said about football, they truly don't care about social justice. They don't care about equality.
That's
where
I thought you were going. All the reasons.
And I still.
That they've given you to quit them. They're giving you a lot of reasons. The NFL has given you a lot of reasons to quit them. Yes.
And there's some folks who really stepped away.
A lot of people have.
They stepped away.
Yes.
That's right.
Colin Kaepernick, domestic violence, whatever, you know, sexual assault, whatever the issue, institutional racism. There's a lot of people that have quit football just for its systemic issues. let alone the inherent violence. Again, this isn't a sermon, you know, to borrow the, you know, the phrase from your, the word from your feed item. DeMar speaks, and that's the entire sermon. Amen to that. This isn't a sermon against football. It's just like, I wonder if, you know, just how it's going to feel watching it given the last thing we watched. But, you know, these games are going to go on. And listen, even if they were to postpone the games for this weekend, which came up initially, potentially, you know, postponing this weekend's games, they would have eventually played them again. They're not going to be postponed indefinitely. They're not going to shut the NFL down or cease playing football in order to do some kind of study about, or to turn it into flag football. Like, even if they took this week off for whatever reason, just to give everybody a chance to breathe and to step away, it'll come back the next week. Or they'd have made it, you know
it's
what I mean?
Keep going.
This train's going to keep on moving. This train's going to keep moving. What, God forbid, praise God that it did not come to this, but what if DeMar Hamlin had not come through this? What if he was still struggling for his life right now? What if he had not, what if he were not on the road to recovery the way he is? What if, you know what I mean? Like,
I think the Bills.
What if the medical staff had not responded as effectively and efficiently as quickly
superstars.
As they did in that moment? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, this could
They're
have gone
superstars.
A different way. And my point is, it could always go a different way. I think that's really my point. Is like, you know, this is an extreme example of something that happens over and over again. And this captured our attention. Maybe it was the Monday Night Spotlight, like you said, the CPR. I'd never heard the word CPR that I could recall in the broadcast about a guy on the field. The whole situation was just so traumatizing for everybody, obviously, involved on the field, but everybody watching at home. But it's just like, somebody gonna get laid out Sunday. A lot of people gonna get laid out Sunday, and it's gonna do damage to them that maybe isn't as urgent and you know, attention grabbing as CPR in the moment. But it's just, man, I don't know, man. I've just been thinking a lot this week about the price these guys pay and what they put on the line, and really the theme of this season. I mentioned Tua, now DeMar Hamlin, has been humanity. If we've got nothing from
Amen.
This season,
thank
we've
you.
Really
yes.
You know, whether it's treat them like patients and not players. That was the takeaway from the Tua controversy. And here's DeMar, literally a patient in the moment. More than anything, I think the story of this season, the headline of this season has been these guys as human beings and the human cost that they pay, practice in and practice out, game in and game out. I guess the Hamlin situation just crystallized it. It was an isolated incident. Hey. It's not common, but nonetheless, my point is it doesn't have to be that extreme for us to realize, like, yo, this is, I mean, we know it already, but we just compartmentalize and practice cognitive dissonance when it comes to it. Like, this is a deadly, violent game. And there are people at BU that are studying this and screaming this from the rooftops. But anyway, I'm just kind of...
You brought up a good point too, and I want to say just to you know, underline what you've said already on this. You don't really know what you have. You don't know what kind of leaders are in the room sometimes until adversity strikes. So sometimes the people that you expect to lead, they do, and then there's somebody off on the side who kind of emerges in that moment. You didn't see it coming. They didn't see it coming. They just do. What they think the situation calls for. Look, I knew Sean McDermott was an excellent head coach. I knew that based on what he'd done on the field with the Buffalo Bills. They were an afterthought in the division for a long time. He came in, they got better and better, and now they're the class of the division. So I knew he knew what he was doing when it came to X's and O's. But his leadership the last few days has been exceptional. He was asked about it yesterday.
He said, I did. Think about everything that they've dealt with in Buffalo. Dealt with in Buffalo.
That's right.
Going back
on
to
the
preseason.
Field, off the field.
On yes. the field, off the community.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so he said, I did what anybody else would do. No. You did what you would hope other people would do, but some people aren't thinking like that in a moment. And not that they're bad people, but sometimes people... just kind of freeze up, or they it's not they're not able to think in the moment. They're kind of frozen, or they're delayed. And
especially
he wasn't.
No,
he immediately, yeah, he immediately said, "Okay, we're not about this. We're not playing this game." I think the Buffalo Bills, their entire organization, wonderful job. Bengals too, but the players. You talk about the players. Yeah. Putting it out there, we should not turn up our noses at guaranteed contracts. I know we don't. Guaranteed contracts, that's the least. Yeah. That's the least
better
we
health
can
care.
Do.
Better health care.
Yeah, better health care.
You know, just like in that moment, they could not be expected to continue playing. There was no way they were going to continue playing. Like, it's only been a few days, and they're going to strap it up.
And also, real quick, if you see a first responder, if they ask permission first, you see a first responder, give them a hug. Hug them. First responders, medical professionals in your area, they save all of us. They were the superstars on Monday night.
Yeah. Thanks for bearing with me there. The games are going to go on. We're going to talk about the fallout, as I mentioned, because these solutions are wild.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Okay, one of my favorite sayings is, perfect is the enemy of good. And we knew early in the week that there wasn't going to be a solution that made everybody happy when it comes to how to handle the eventually postponed game, Week 17 game between the Bills and the Bengals. But I'm not good with this at all.
Yeah, man.
At all.
Yeah, man.
At all.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
So, I mean, There's two things. One is worse than the other. So we'll do the not as bad one. The neutral site AFC championship game, which here's how we can get to a neutral site AFC championship game. Buffalo and Kansas City both win or both tie this week. A Buffalo versus Kansas City championship game will be at a neutral site. Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Baltimore wins or ties in week 18. A Buffalo versus Kansas City AFC championship game will be at a neutral site. Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Cincinnati wins. A Buffalo or Cincinnati versus Kansas City championship game will be at a neutral site. Hopefully it never comes to that. No offense to those teams. Hopefully it ends up being a moot point, but we could see a neutral site AFC title game. Worse than that is if the Ravens beat the Bengals. Michael, it all comes full circle for us. It all comes full circle on Brother from Another. I know how much we both love the Ravens as an organization. But I'm sure you're rooting for the Bengals this week, not just emotionally, but on principle. Because if the Ravens beat the Bengals and they end up hosting and they end up playing each other in a wild card round, the host of that game will be determined by a coin flip, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right. Right. Determined by a coin flip. Why are they doing this? I don't understand why they're going to these extremes.
We don't determine, just for the record, I want to point this out. They don't determine, or they at least try not to determine, the winner of a playoff overtime game on a coin flip anymore. Remember the coin flip held two, or even a regular season overtime game. Remember the coin flip, and it still has a lot of power. Remember the coin flip held too much power over the outcome of an overtime game? Now, who hosts a game in the playoffs, you're going to reduce it to a coin flip?
I don't understand. I mean, that the whole thing, that, as you say, scenario, it is as wide-ranging and adventurous as the song that you quote here. I mean, it's all over the place, but not nearly as enjoyable. Where's Busta Rhymes to come in and just kind of make sense of this in his own distinct way? Look, Mike, they have the rules on the books. In this situation, just go by the rules.
It makes total sense. Winning percentage.
You've already had it. Winning percentage. That's it. Stay right there.
You already have a contingency plan. You have a plan in place for this very scenario. A canceled game, regardless of the circumstances, is winning percentage. Now, in the middle of the season, y'all ain't got to fly the plane while you build it. Y'all don't have to make it up as y'all go along. This was a completely unnecessary intervention on the part of the owners, on the part of the competition committee, on the part of the commissioner. Leave well enough alone and just base it off winning percentage. The seeding should be based off winning percentage. If they have a tie, it's based on winning percentage. Is it not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to make the playoffs with a tie or miss the playoffs with a tie based on winning percentage.
Yeah. I think Katie Blackburn from Cincinnati, now because she's affiliated with Cincinnati, this could be perceived as, it goes against the Bengals, so of course she's against it. No, Katie Blackburn said something last night that makes perfect sense. She said we should not be changing rules during the season. We should wait till the off season to change, because if we change rules during the season, biases can come in, impulsivity can come in, maybe sentimentality. I'm adding the sentimentality part, but I understand what she's saying. She's absolutely right. Why are you changing these rules now? Because you know what would happen? It's like if Buffalo says anything right now, then we all go co-sign it. This is what we want. We're all going to co-sign it. If Damar Hamlin and Sean McDermott said, you know what? We want to be a governor and vice governor, or lieutenant governor of New York, they'd win. I mean, like, we all love them. I'd go to New York. I'd become a New York resident to vote for them. Like, we're all about what's best for Buffalo right now, because we all are looking at Damar Hamlin and we want him to be, we want success for him. We want great things for him.
Can I interject with a quick observation and give it back to you? I can't wait to say it because I'm, it's very trivial, but it's me and you. It's me and you. Yeah. And DeMar is doing better, so maybe there's a little levity we could bring to these conversations.
Yeah.
Michael Holly has become a fan of both the Bengals and the Bills. Who would have thought?
Imagine. How about imagine that?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
See, that's what, this is the beauty of sports.
If you watch this show, you know how miraculous that actually is.
It's the beauty of sports. But I still think you got to be careful. You got to be careful of going too far. And Mike, a neutral conference championship game. We got a neutral Super Bowl. That's fine. But a neutral conference championship game, not only is it something I don't want to see, it takes away from people. You've been around enough conference championships to know how it provides an economic boost to a city. Now, I'm not saying it brings in $30 million, although I don't know that it does it. But it will give you a little, it gives your community a little spike. Restaurants, hotels, vendors, small businesses, stadium workers, they all benefit from a conference championship in their city.
A lot of people think Championship Sunday is better than the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl Sunday, in many respects.
I just can't imagine why they did it this way. And everybody's going to say, it's unfair, but you've all agreed to this. I'm guessing it's collectively bargained. Somewhere along the way, this was collectively bargained by somebody, or somebody knew this rule was on the books. So why are you making a push to take an established rule off and to create something that is a little convoluted and I would say nonsensical?
Well, I mean, if you're Kansas City, and I mean, you know, Kansas City, you know, I don't know if they've spoken publicly on this, but like if you're Kansas City, you know, you can't complain right now because of the circumstance. Everybody wants to, you know, approach this the right way, but it's just like, yo, wait a minute. It's like, if we've earned the right to have the number one overall seed and have home field throughout, like it's almost rendering the regular season, our accomplishments meaningless if it is now a neutral site game because of an unfortunate set of circumstances. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, I would almost prefer they say it's in Buffalo. You know, I mean, you know, but a neutral, that's such a cop-out. A coin flip in a neutral site is such a cop-out in both instances. It's like, okay,
right.
If you want to go to, just say, okay, you know what? Bengals had a game canceled. They lost a home game. We're giving them this playoff game. But a coin flip is like, well, blame fate. We will let fate decide. Who are you, Harvey Dent? It's like, you know, like, make like winning percentage.
Right.
It's winning percentage. Right. Period. Full stop. There's absolutely no reason to open up Pandora's. It's like not only did they open up Pandora's box with this solution that caused problems more than it solved, it's like they went and said, hey, you got a Pandora's box I could have? Anybody got a Pandora's box? Let me, like, they went searching for and then opened the Pandora's box instead of just going with the rule they had, which was in place in the first place. Don't you think people thought about this rule a long time ago when they came up with this rule? Don't you think there was off-season conversations and discussions about, hey, what should we do if a game gets canceled? What should we do if one team can play fewer games? Oh, I don't know. What if there's a pandemic? What if there's a global pandemic and some games have to be canceled? How are we going to handle it? Win percentage. Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Okay, cool. Let's move on. Here they come trying to solve a problem that ain't there. It's like, what's the thing on social media? Like, nobody. NFL, how about a coin flip to determine who hosts the wild card game?
Yeah, yeah.
How about a neutral site?
Yeah.
This is so unnecessary. I wish somebody would explain the rationale. Am I missing the rationale? Has there been some explanation as to why they thought this was necessary?
If you're missing it, I'm missing it too. I guess they look at it and say, well, look at Kansas City. Kansas City's going to get that one. If they beat the Las Vegas Raiders, Jared Stidham's Las Vegas Raiders, so tomorrow. So Kansas City is going to have their 14th win by winning that game. And we all know that, you know, Buffalo can't get there because they have one fewer game. So Buffalo, they look at it and say, you know, Buffalo beat Kansas City. Buffalo beat Kansas City. Cincinnati beat Kansas City. So why should Kansas City get this top spot? Because. Just because. Okay, that's what I say. Just because. Okay. Like they didn't create this issue. Buffalo didn't create it. Cincinnati didn't create it. Just stick with the rules. But I'd say also, Mike, neutral field does not benefit the Buffalo Bills. They don't want the neutral field either. Hey, one of the great things
doesn't benefit anybody.
Especially Buffalo. What an advantage.
Well, but I mean, obviously, yes, from a weather standpoint.
Lake effect. Lake
it's
Erie.
It's pretty damn cold in Kansas City in January.
Lake Erie is undefeated.
Arrowhead's one of the toughest places to play. Buffalo's one of the toughest places to play. The jungle nowadays, except when the Bengals go.
I was just thinking back to my childhood. You know, Lake Erie. You know, Cleveland's on Lake Erie. They've lost playoff games. The drive.
Yeah,
the drive happened
point.
There.
That's a good point.
But the point,
yeah,
but most of the time,
Lake Erie,
nobody wants to go in there. But here's the other thing. I want to assure you, you want to talk about levity. This will make you, if you think back a couple of decades, this will make you feel good about yourself. You didn't waste time, and I didn't waste all that time playing Madden. We didn't play all those games. It was simulation. We simulated. It was essentially coin flicks. coin flips, computer algorithms. You got the percentages right so we can play our playoff games. So the NFL is essentially doing what we did 20 years ago. You feel better? I do.
It's just the coin flip. How about rock, paper, scissors? I prefer rock, paper, scissors. At least I have some control over that. You know what I mean? But I mean, can we just get rid of coin flips in general? Like, I just want to, like, even for draft, you know how many draft picks have been decided based off coin flips? It's like, we got to find a better solution than coin flips. Who's flipping the coin? How are they flipping the coin? Was it heads or tails when it rested on their thumb? Where did it land? Did it bounce?
It's like,
I hate that.
You can't do that.
No coin flips.
But I'll tell you what's not a coin flip. What's going to happen. Mike, just a quiz. I know your memory is a little shaky, but you were there for this game. The biggest upset in New England Patriots history, when they were on the right side of it, when they were on the right side of the upset, what's the biggest upset in the New England Patriots' entire history? You were there. The game was in your hometown. It was at the Superdome.
Yeah, of course.
Which is what?
Right. Super Bowl 36, yeah.
Super Bowl 36, biggest upset in Patriots history. That was in the postseason.
Super Bowl history at the time. It might still be.
Right. For them to win this game, it would qualify as the biggest upset in the regular season for the New England Patriots. I feel for them. Going into Buffalo in this situation, nobody wants them to win. Nobody wants the Patriots to win, so they've
got. Well, that would be the case anyway.
They got an emotional title win.
Buffalo has the edge emotionally.
Yeah,
interesting.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Oh, yes.
That's interesting. You think so? After the week that they had, after what they just experienced, Buffalo has. I mean, listen, there's going to be a lot.
What Josh Allen said
across the league,
I think Josh Allen,
DeMar. They are planning for DeMar. Yeah.
And he said a couple of things. One, he said, there's nothing you can say that will bring us down after the news we got. We played that clip.
That's true.
Then
that's true.
He said, Mario Hamlin, DeMar's father, talked to them and said, you've got to play. You've got to play for my son. He said, he didn't just tell us. He demanded that this is what we do. Your goals are still in sight.
Yeah.
You're playing for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So they got permission.
He's okay.
They got permission from the family. Hey, man, don't get distracted. You still the Buffalo Bills. So think about all the things that the Patriots have going against them. They're playing against a team that's much better than they are. A team that beat them by 30 points in the playoffs last year. Has beaten them already this year. Score appeared close, but the game wasn't. Then a team that has something to play for on the field and off the field. Woo! Oh boy. This is one of those homecoming games.
It's
a homecoming game.
A homecoming game. Okay. Wow. Yeah. No. It has turned. I mean, early in the week, I would not have seen it that way. We can go to break, Gary. Early in the week, I would not have seen it that way. I would have thought that, man, how are the Bills gonna focus? How are they gonna go out and perform for this game, even against a team that an overmatched in this matchup? Patriots team, but yeah, it's not that he's better. He's spoken to him and told him he loved him. He mentioned what his dad said. You know, now they gotta, you know, they're playing for somebody bigger than, for something and somebody bigger than them now. You know, it's gonna be an emotional day across the league with the tributes, decal. It's something. It's gonna be something.
Yeah.
I still don't know how I'm gonna feel watching it all. It was just Monday. I'm still kind of stuck in Monday.
You talked about not being yet in peak form, and also earlier in the season you wouldn't be able to do what you did tonight. So playing 46 minutes and only having one night off, what's going to be your approach to the next game, and how's your body feeling?
I feel great. Recovery day tomorrow. The old Detroit won. They beat us early in the season. We can keep this thing rolling. My approach Wednesday is do the same thing I did tonight. I mean, that'll be a tough encore, but just come out aggressive early, hunt great shots, hit the open man, be a leader, and play great defense. do those things and have fun with it. Like, it's a joy to be here and just be a Warrior.
Speaking of joys to be here, it's always a joy to have Natalie on the show. Mm. How much joy did you feel, or have you felt,
yes,
covering the Warriors and asking that question so calmly, so smoothly, open-ended and neutral, just
and
like
lean.
He taught you? Well, it wasn't quite lean, but that's okay. That's all right. I wouldn't mind talking. That's okay. It was a great question. It was a great question. Got a great answer. Just how did you feel, Nat? Because we were proud. We were beaming with pride.
Oh, thank you. It was definitely exciting. By the time I got to Clay, that was my second question. So I was sort of a pro. And the nerves had settled a little bit, but it was an incredible experience. Like, I'm still, every day I keep pinching myself to see if this is real.
Nat is a natural. How about that? Who knew?
You stay with the bar.
There's a feed item right there.
Oh, well, welcome to this side of the family, I guess.
Yeah.
I wasn't to say the dark side, but you know.
Nah, it was definitely cool. Unfortunately, yes, like,
did anybody know? Did they know you?
Who, like the players or who? Like other media?
Yeah, the players.
Players.
Yeah, like, hey, what's up, Nat? The Clay say,
yeah,
Nat,
right. I follow you on Twitter.
That's a great question.
Down for us.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. I mean, I didn't go to anyone and say, hey, I'm Nat Fluential from Twitter, but I feel pretty confident that some of the players probably know me, even if they don't follow me. But
how,
yeah,
about
I didn't.
That?
Okay, let's just say she played it cool. She ain't get revealing nothing.
Say.
I like it. All right. We showed on time. Well, you're here to take us into the comments section. So fire
what's
away.
What's up with these
what
comments, Nat Fluential?
Yeah. Well, if you noted, like, in Clay's presser, he said we need to get the Pistons back, and they did not get the Pistons back. And so I kind of predicted off air that they may not win that Pistons game. But another game I predicted and got right was the Christmas game. And Mike, you weren't here for this, but Mark Spears came on, like, right before Christmas, and he was talking about the Warriors, and, you know, they were on a skit at that point. And I think, Holly, you were on, right? And Vince? Was it maybe? I can't remember who else was on that. No. It wasn't Vince. But anyway, it was Jim Trotter. And so everyone, just the outlook was negative for the Warriors. I wasn't on air, actually. And I'm texting them like, no. The Grizzlies are losing on Christmas Day. So we ended the show, came back, recorded an extra segment, put it on YouTube, and it got a lot of hit. But people, like, the Warriors ended up winning. So people were calling me like a fortune teller. They want me to give them the lottery numbers. Shout out to Real Chris Moore, who is a regular supporter of the show.
Yes.
He was
appreciate you.
He was like, oh man, Nat's gonna be in us, like going in on us, like, you know, because of this loss. But unfortunately, or fortunately for Chris, we didn't have shows that week, so I didn't get to gloat about it, but I just wanted to call it out. And someone else said, like, I'd be taking them to church. So I'm happy that the people are pleased, but I'm also giving myself a little shout out for the right prediction.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Shout yourself out.
Hold on to those.
Good stuff.
What else you got?
What else is out there in the street?
On Monday, you guys were having a conversation about Brady, and Michael Holly is all out on him. He thinks the Bucks have no chance of even getting a playoff game. Michael Smith said, don't doubt the GOAT. He might. The polls agreed with Michael Holly, but the comments, there were a lot of comments who agreed with Mike Smith. And also, they were going in on Dallas, like just a lot of shots at the Cowboys. Oh, they're playing the Cowboys, so Brady will win. So,
yeah.
That's low hanging fruit, though. You know, Nat and Mike, you know that's low hanging fruit. People either love it. They're such a polarizing team. People love the Cowboys, or they love to hate on the Cowboys. But this is a little different. This is not your cousins. Cowboys team, very good team, got a real case for being the best team in the NFC. They're not, but they're in that conversation. I think they're significantly better, Mike, than the Buccaneers.
Yeah, no, I've been trying to make up for writing them off after the first game of the season against the Bucs all season long. Love what the Cowboys are doing. The Bucs aren't my Bengals. I'm not going that far. I'm not about to gas this bandwagon up. You know, it's not like the Bucks haven't recently won. So my point is, it's like I get all the reservations, all the doubts about Tampa, but like the absolute nature in which you've said, or the vote was ain't no way. It's Tom Brady. There's always a way. What else you got, Nat?
Yeah. So, Michael, you've been missed. People want to know where you're at. And one user, Jocal, said, you're going to have to update your avatar with the new fro because they want to see an updated avatar. So, but you were spot on. This was in response to our Hackett short that we put up over the holidays because you predicted Hackett was in over his head very early. So he said, you're spot on, but also we need to get your Avi updated.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was also stubborn about Urban Meyer last year. So, hey. That's so, what I'm saying. So, but, you know, like, great call on a prediction with the Warriors. Nat, do this long enough, you're going to miss some, too. I miss quite a few. I keep those receipts, too. I remember the ones I missed, Michael. Well, I know you don't think I do, but I remember the ones I missed.
Go ahead. I'm going to say I like the fro and agree with the user. Like, we need to update your Avi to reflect it.
Okay. Mike, what were you going to say real
That's
quick?
That's good. I like it. No, real quick. Who should be the coach of the Broncos, Mike? You know, you got Hackett, so give us another coach. You got a coach in queue who would be good for them?
Let me get out some thought. I mean,
I got one.
The enemy makes sense, stealing from Kansas City.
The enemy would be
great. Where are you staying?
Gerard Mayo, too.
I ain't trying to get in your business, but that hotel room is fire.
We talk offline.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.